for Elaine, who is in the hospital. That's all the details I have.
We want to continue to pray for Chris and Denise Carnahan. They will get the results of his scans today. And Denise got news yesterday that her nanny isn't doing well, so she'll be traveling from Arkansas to California soon. And I know that they probably could use a little financial provision because he hasn't been able to work while he's been doing the strong chemo. And we want to pray for the family of Debbie Sanders Poff.
Okay. All right. I'm going to add my mom and dad to this list. They are 85, and they are transitioning from their home into an assisted living apartment. And that's a big transition, because I know I keep having to remind my mom that, you know, you're not going to a nursing home. You're just going to an apartment with lots of amenities. You know, you need to look at it that way, because you still have freedom to do whatever you want to do. But I know they feel like they're maybe giving up, you know, and giving up who they are now, you know. Yeah. And so I just want to pray for them emotionally and spiritually through this transition, because they both really love the Lord, and I could see them not being there a month and running the place, you know, doing Bible studies and, you know, and, yeah. So, I mean, I just want to pray that, you know, God will use them there, and that they will just feel that peace in his presence and not be anxious about the move. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much that we know that you are listening and you hear our prayers. And so we come before your throne this morning, and we lift up Chris and Denise Carnahan. And we pray that today that those reports are good, that they get a good report, and they know that you are just doing that healing work in his life. And Father, I also pray for Denise that and her nanny that's not doing well, and that she's going to have to be traveling to California soon. And I pray for traveling mercies. I pray for provision. I pray for peace, that there won't be, she won't feel torn between the two places, but that she will be able to just do what she needs to do, and everything will be taken care of. I pray for every detail, from physically, spiritually, financially, and emotionally, that all of those needs will be met, and she will just feel your presence and know that you are carrying them through this time. And Father, I pray for the family of Debbie Sanders Poff, and I know that they are just devastated. And so I just pray that you would just come in and just give that family peace, Father, and like only you can do, and give them some hope. The ones who don't know you, let them be awakened to the reality of your love and your grace during this time, Father, that they would commit their lives to you. And the ones that do know you, I pray that they would feel your presence in a strong way, and that they would, even through their heartaches, be able to speak truth and light into the lives of the other family members, and that this would just be a turning point for this family, because they will so feel your peace and your presence there. And Father, I pray for Elaine in the hospital, that you would just enter that hospital room and touch her body and heal her and strengthen her, and that she would know that it is the hand of God that has touched her, and that she would give that report to all who would listen. And Father, I pray for my mom and dad as they go through this transition. I just pray that you give them peace and give them confidence to just know that you are with them and you are in this, and that you have a plan for them, even in assisted living, that they can still witness and be a light for you, and that they can minister to the people around them in a whole new way, Father, that they have not been able to do because they haven't, you know, live door to door with these people and shared meals with these people. And so I just pray for anointing on their lives, and I pray that their bodies be strengthened and that their minds stay strong, and that they would just be able to be used by you and just be encouraged today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages.
I don't know who gets this.
Didn't want no kind of, what do you call that, copyright?
Oh, with the song going out?
Yeah. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-343-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here in Elk City at the Promise Center.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. God has designed us to be unique. What we feel, how we see, and why we express is unequaled. You have a reason why you are here. He wants to help you with that reason. You are a channel to your world. What flows through that channel is how your world will experience the influence of you. So what goes through you is what feeds your world.
Pastor Tammy Bailey would like to invite you to the Refuge Church. They're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school is at 10, Sunday worship at 10:45. Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, Wednesday youth group at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy at 580-729-0956.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating and Cooling is located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing, heating and cooling needs, contact Drew's at 580-343-2525. They are a company that cares.
We hope today's
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Miss Renee Kielhofer. Her title for this morning is Feeling Stuck. Are you? Are you? I remember. I think we had one more prayer request come in, sister.
Our friend Angela Jenkins asked us to continue to pray for her son Ricky and her mom Viola.
Okay. Father, we just lift up Ricky and Viola to you this morning. Father, I know that you are working on their behalf. And so, Father, I pray that today would be a turning point in their lives, and whatever needs to be done, that you would just do that. And they would know that you hear them, you are listening, and you are in the middle of that situation, and you are taking care of all of the details. And Father, we just thank you for it, and we give you the praise and glory, because we know that you love us and you're working, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, before you get started back into the lesson, do you have anything you would like to share about your church, location, services, or anything?
Oh, yes. I go to Grandview Church. It's on the corner of Country Club and Pioneer here in Elk City. We have Sunday morning services for all ages at 10 o'clock. And then Wednesday evening for all ages at 6:30. So we've got a bunch of fun stuff coming up for Easter, too. So keep us in mind. If you haven't been there before, we would love to have you visit us on Easter and just be part of our family. Amen. All right. Are we ready to get back?
Ready.
All right. We're on number 5, so we're about halfway through our wilderness mentalities. But number 5, I don't know, probably this one's probably really foreign to all of you and no one can relate. But don't make me wait for anything. I want it now. I can so relate. James 5:7 in the Message version says, meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the master's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Mm-hmm. I love that. So it's not that we have to wait, but it's our attitude in the waiting that really matters. Because we might need to let the rain do its good work to bring us to maturity. Just like the children of Israel, that long route, that's not the easy way, may be the only way for God to do in us what needs to be done.
Amen.
So we need to be patient. We need to see the rain in our life as an opportunity for the fruit to grow, the harvest to grow in our own lives. Because most of us don't like to be caught out in the rain without an umbrella, but we know it's necessary if we're going to eat next year, because we need that harvest. And so it's kind of the same thing in our spiritual lives. So here we go, number six. It's not my fault. We love to play the blame game, and that started way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. The man said, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it. And then on down, the woman says, the serpent seduced me. So we're playing the blame game from the very beginning, but I think it's interesting that Adam not only blames Eve, he blames God. The woman you gave me, you know, you screwed up and gave me this woman who can't follow rules. And so she convinced me to eat this fruit. And so it's your fault, you know, never mind. I mean, you know, we could stretch this out of the biblical, you know, scenario and say, you know, God could say, well, I did form her out of your rib.
Oh,
you know, so probably some of your DNA got in there, you know, but, you know, who knows? And then, of course, Eve goes on to blame the serpent, you know, the devil made me do it. Remember Flip Wilson back in the 70s, you know, again, there might be young people listening going, who is Flip Wilson?
Google it.
Just Google it. But we always seem to go there first. If it doesn't come out of our mouths, it'll enter into our brain for sure. Like when you're praying for your spouse to change, you know, because everything in your life would be better if he would just get it together or she would just get it together. Instead of praying for God to maybe give us a revelation about some things we might need to change to make the marriage better or to make their life better, or, you know, even if you make an honest mistake doing something, the first thing in our mind will be like, well, so-and-so distracted me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in your mind, justify all of our behavior by putting it over on someone else, even if we don't out and out say, you know, it's your fault. So we're really good at doing that. But, you know, God is really quick to forgive us if we truly repent. But here's the thing. We cannot truly repent if we don't first admit that we've done something wrong, that it is our fault, or that we do bear some responsibility in the outcome of the situation. So how can we repent for something we don't think we did? So it brings us back to that self-inventory. We have to stop making excuses for our own behavior. And excuses are different than reasons, and sometimes they're not.
Come on.
There can be a legitimate reason for why a person behaves the way they do, but that is still not an excuse to continue in that behavior.
Come on.
That's why the world is rot right now with therapists, you know, everybody's in therapy. And I'm not knocking therapy. I got a daughter who's trying to get her master's so she can help people. So, I mean, I am not knocking therapy. I'm just saying that, you know, it's all out there because even the world recognizes that we have to stop making excuses for our behavior. And we, if we're ever going to be better, if we're ever going to get unstuck. Mm-hmm. You make excuses for yourself, you're not moving anywhere. You are going to be right there in the same place forever. So number seven, I feel sorry for myself because my life is so wretched. But Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified. It says, "And all the congregation cried with a loud voice, and they wept all night. All the Israelites grumbled and deplored their situation." And so it's important that we understand that we cannot entertain the sin of self-pity and also walk in power. You know, you cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. I love that. Joyce Meyer says that all the time, but it is so true. You cannot have a pitiful, woe is me mindset and be powerful in any area of your life.
Come on.
If you are entertaining that. So you've got to let it go. Isaiah chapter 43 says to forget the former things. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. I am doing a new thing. Look forward to the new thing. Your life might be wretched, but it's not going to stay wretched unless that's where you camp. So respond. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to God today? Let that go, because he is doing a new thing. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. He's always doing a new thing. He's going to do something different tomorrow than he's doing today. So if I don't like today, hold on. Tomorrow's coming. There's something good coming, and if I don't like today, it's probably because God's trying to grow me to the point that he can give me tomorrow, whatever it is he has. There's a new thing coming. So number eight, and I think this is where a lot of Christians get stuck, I'm not worthy of God's blessings, because we do recognize how good God is. But the fact is, I'm not worthy of God's blessings. No, you're not. Neither am I. That's what's so beautiful about it. None of us are worthy of God giving us a second glance. None of us are worthy. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to work your way into his good graces. You know, not only you're not going to work your way into salvation, you're not going to work your way into, you know, getting God to be your personal genie and do whatever you want. And that's what people think, that they can work the program or work the formula and God's going to miraculously go, poof, here's everything you've ever wanted, you know. And that is not what God has promised us in any way, shape, or form. But the really, really cool thing about God is that he really, really, really loves us anyway. Even if that's our mindset, he loves us anyway. So whatever we do for God should be done because we love him, because we understand how awesome he is, and not because we're trying to get something from him. We're not worthy of the blessings of God, but that should make us love him more, understanding that he blesses us anyway. So Hebrews 11 says, he rewards those who diligently seek him. So just diligently seek him and see what happens. See what he's got in store for you. I mean, I dare you to be obedient to God. I dare you to chase after God. I dare you to meditate on his character and who he is. See what that does for your negative attitude.
Amen.
See what that does for your life in general. And then number nine. Everyone else is better off than I am. I want what they have. Why did they get that blessing and I didn't? You know, it's really, really hard to say your car in terrible shape, and it's got 200,000 miles on it, and it has an oil leak, and the radio doesn't work. No, wait. The air conditioner doesn't work. Summer's coming. It still rolls, but it's hot. It's miserable. You got to put oil in it twice a week to keep it going. And you're praying for God to send you a nice, dependable car. You're praying hard for that. And then your neighbor, Joe Blow, right next door, who goes to church when he feels like it, and says a few choice words when he's mowing the lawn and a rock flies out and hits his mailbox, or, you know, or you've seen him in traffic flipping people off, and he drives up in a brand new car loaded to the hilt, in your favorite color. It's real hard to get excited about his blessing when you're over here looking at your car that's blue and rust, and the rust is real. You know,
come on.
It's like, but my question is, number one, are you willing to do what they did to get that blessing?
Come on.
Because we don't always know what's going on behind the scenes, and we can't always even look at a person's behavior and know what God is doing in their hearts. And so maybe in his heart, he has made this commitment that we don't know about, but God knows. And God knows it's time to reward him because he's diligently seeking me because I want him to get to the next level and I want to encourage him to keep going. You see what I'm saying? That may be just the thing he needs to get to the next level. And you may need to wait to get to the next level. And that's sometimes a bitter pill to swallow. But the truth is, only God knows. You know, Proverbs 14:30 in the Easy Version says, if you have peace in your mind, your body will be healthy. But if you are jealous, it will eat away at your body. Do you want to be healthy or you want to be jealous?
Come on.
Want to be healthy or not? So don't compare or compete with the people around you. You know, and don't look at Facebook and think this person's life is so much better. Because what we do when we're doing that, and I know I've said this before, but when we look at, you know, people's lives and they've got the pictures of their whole family on there and they're all smiling and they're all happy and, you know, everything just looks like they have this great life. Well, we compare their outside to our inside.
Come on, right there.
And that's apples and oranges.
Come on.
Because if you got inside their life, you would see the vicaring. You might see the addiction. You might see that abuse they're covering up. You know, we don't know. So don't compare. Don't get caught up in that compare and compete. Just look at those pictures and think to yourself, I hope their life is as blessed as it looks like it is. I hope they're not going through some secret trauma. I hope they're not on the verge of bankruptcy and they don't know how they're going to pay their mortgage next month. I hope that's not the case. God bless these people. You know, and that's going to make you healthy. Because if your mind is at peace, your body will be healthy. But if you're jealous, it's going to eat away at your body. So don't entertain those things that are going to destroy you both spiritually and physically and emotionally. Don't even go there. Everyone struggles. Everyone struggles. And you can do whatever God is telling you to do because he's not going to tell you to do something and then not help you do it. So seek him first and everything else will fall into place. And you will know that peace. And the greatest prize that you can have in this life is a life of peace. That's it. There's not a rich person or a poor person anywhere on the face of the earth that's not looking for peace. And we know the Prince of Peace. So lastly, number 10, I'm going to do it my way or I'm not doing it at all.
Come on. Let me, I need to put my feet up. That kind of stepped on my toe.
Me too. I had trouble even writing that one down.
You have to force your hand to
yeah,
write it with
I
the
did.
Pen.
I did. And I thought, is there any other way I can write this where it doesn't sound quite like this? But there wasn't. So.
Okay.
So here we are.
Here we go.
You know, God just wants us to be obedient. That's the thing. So that takes trust. It takes trust in God to be obedient. So if we insist on doing it our own way, then what we are saying is, I know better than God.
Yep.
So just let that statement sink in your mind for a minute. You know, I know better than you, God. I have a better plan. Back off. Let me take care of this. I can do it. But if we think we know so much, God might just back off and let us try it our way.
Boy, howdy.
And then we and everyone around us will figure out real quick that we don't know anything. Been there too. So really, in summary today, if you're feeling stuck, keep your eyes focused on him and keep chasing after him. If it feels like you're stuck, ask God to show you what you're supposed to be learning or changing. Ask him to do that self-inventory with you. If you do that self-inventory and the Holy Spirit is not showing you something that might need to be changed, then maybe this is just a time of growth for you. Be patient, and he will answer. And I will close with this, but I personally have been going through some things for the last several months, and I always start with that self-inventory, like, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? Why can't I get on board with this? Why am I not feeling it? And I have felt like just in the last week that God has really showed me that he's trying to take me to a new place and a new level, and that it's time to grow up a little bit in this area. And I feel like that, you know, if I had got stuck there with like trying to just change everything in my own life, in my own way, that I would miss what he's doing now, and I might still be going around that mountain. So recognize that sometimes it's not an attack from the enemy, and sometimes it's not something that you're doing wrong or some big sin that you have in your life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just God wanting to stretch you to the next level, and just let him do that, because nothing is wasted or unnoticed by God. He uses it all. Whether you can see it or not, or whether you can feel it or not, he's moving. Just remember, he loves you, he sees you, he's always working, and he's working on your behalf to bring about that good end that brings him glory and makes you better. So hang in there. Hang tough and don't be discouraged. Mm. I'm done.
Okay. We appreciate you coming in so much. Good word. This really spoke to my spirit, and I thank you for your willingness to be obedient and bring the word of God.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I know I say it every time, but I always get here and feel like whatever I have studied is so dumb. And God always takes it and changes me through this hour, you know, always. And I always leave here like so pumped up and so glad that I didn't call and say, I'm not going to come this month. You know,
right. You know, something with me, Ms. Renee, is whenever I first started coming, I was coming out of, I had very severe anxiety and panic. I had secluded myself after the death of my husband and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I went back into addiction, and I just, when I started getting the want to get clean, I just secluded myself. I cut everybody out except for my mom, my son, you know, my blood.
Yeah.
I cut everybody else out, okay? And the Lord has just been so faithful and to bring me here everyone. I had to get over myself. Mm-hmm. Monica doesn't know it all. Monica didn't know it all. I didn't have it all figured out. Hmm. Go figure that one, y'all. I didn't have it all figured out already.
Yeah, really.
I had to be willing to let go mm-hmm. of everything I was taught about religion mm-hmm. and Jesus and Christianity. Mm-hmm. I had to open my hands and not hold anything.
Yeah.
And just allow him. I had to go through a relearning mm-hmm. is what I had to do, because I had such a twisted mindset of who God was. I had such a wrong impression of who
almost
he was.
Almost like a brainwashing.
Yes, yes. And I had to be willing to let go of everything and start fresh.
And that's a vulnerable, kind of scary place to be.
It was. But God is so faithful. Mm-hmm. Everyone that has come and sat at this table, God has used them.
That's awesome.
To transform me.
That's awesome.
And there's a ripple effect in that.
Yes, yes.
Such a ripple effect. Not only has my life been changed, but my two bonus daughters, my late husband's daughters, mm-hmm. are both clean. I had no idea they were tuned in.
Wow.
No idea that they were tuning in.
Wow. That's so cool.
But God moved.
Yeah.
And there was what he did in me had a ripple effect into the lives of my bonus daughters.
Yeah, and what he's done in them, like you say, that's going to continue on yes. to their children, their friends, yes. their families.
Now, both of them are clean. Both of them. One has gotten married.
Aw.
And the other one, thank you, Lord. Her marriage is back. She got her heart's desire, which is having her family back.
That's awesome.
She got her husband back. Her children back, and she's expecting a daughter in August. Girl, I'm going to have two granddaughters in August.
Oh, that's so exciting. I'm getting one in July.
That's so awesome. Babies are just so precious.
They are. I just love that.
He's so cool. Don't underestimate what God is doing for you, with you, and through you, because Amen. You don't know the ripple effect that's going to have on those. And I had to, you know, there's times even today, like this morning, I woke up and that nauseous, sick stomach feeling that you get mm-hmm. when anxiety comes mm-hmm. pecking at you, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or a panic that starts knocking at your door, you get this, I think I'm going to be sick. Mm-hmm. This morning I woke up and I kind of had that, and I'm like, no.
There you go.
No. No. Nuh-uh. We're going.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. And I feel fine.
That's awesome. That's awesome. He's God so is cool. good. He's so, so faithful.
Cool. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and the gorgeous Renee Kielhofer. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray. We hope today